week about a lot of different things. And I pray that what my mind is settled on now would be a message that God has for you. Please be in prayer for me as I stand before you for just a little while. Let me read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Y'all know what sundry times and divers manners are? Sundry means different kind of ways and different kind of times. A lot of different times the Lord manifested Himself. God manifested Himself. And a lot of different ways He manifested Himself to Moses in the burning bush, didn't He? But He says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. If I go any farther into that, I won't get back. He's God's Son. I want to read a little bit in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 54. And when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence or where hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Those astonished people recognized that He was wise and that He was mighty.
Amen.
Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? They just couldn't fathom that this man would be as wise and as mighty as he was, and he didn't come up in their nurseries of learning and education. They weren't the ones that taught Him that, and they couldn't believe that He had that kind of wisdom.
Amen.
Is not this the carpenter's son? I want to talk to you about the Son of God today.
Amen.
They said that all His brothers, we watched this boy grow up. We know he didn't get this learning from us. And they were offended in Him, says. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Y'all know one of the hardest places I ever tried to preach, Brother Doyle, was at the church that I grew up in. That's hard. They saw me when I was sitting there on the back pew. Listen, this is shocking. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I have wondered many times after seeing what I've seen in Africa, I can't go into it. Be here all day. But I just want to tell you this, that many days I've spent there, and I've woke up in the morning saying, God, what are you going to show me today that I have never seen? It's like waking up and living pages in Acts. And my mind goes to, why aren't we seeing this in America? Why can't I pray over somebody's child that's been in a coma or asleep for 30 hours? And while we're praying, the child begins to move and to wake up. Why isn't that happening in America? I'm not saying it can't, and there are stories sprinkled around, but I wonder why. I wonder why. It'll mess you up, brethren. I'm telling you. When you come back, it'll mess you up. Mess me up in here. I could no longer understand why folks wouldn't get in an air-conditioned vehicle and come and sit in a climate-controlled padded bench for, you know, an hour and a half. I couldn't understand that. And I thought, as I thought about all these things, I thought about what is the difference between America and Africa? Why aren't we experiencing the things of the Spirit of God and the power of God in here in America? And I had to come to the realization that this is an equation. And every equation has variables in it. But God hadn't changed. His power hasn't lessened. And the Spirit is not. It hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what variable has changed? The variable is me.
That's right.
Amen. The variable is me.
That's right.
And that's the reason why Jesus didn't do many mighty works there, was because of their unbelief. And I want to say this, that who is Jesus? I mean, who is Jesus to you? Is He your friend? I hope He is. But that's not all that He is. Is He your buddy? I've heard some people talk about Jesus like He was our buddy. Who is Jesus? In the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, I may do more reading than I do talking, but that may be all right. Y'all might like that. A question was asked. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thine garments like him that treadeth the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. Who is this with dyed garments coming from Bosra? He answered the question. He said, it's me, mighty to save.
That's right.
Do you know the phrase Son of God that I could find anyway? It's only recorded one time in that phrase, Son of God, in the Old Testament. And do you know who said it? Old King Nebuchadnezzar. You know why he said it? He had thrown those three Hebrew children into the fiery furnace, and the people that even threw them in there died because of the heat. That's hot. But you know, old King looked in there and he saw them standing. But he didn't see three. He saw four. He said, didn't we throw three people in there? And they said, yeah, King, we did. And he said, well, I see four. And the fourth one's likened to the Son of God.
Amen.
And who told Nebuchadnezzar that? God manifest himself to Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he?
Yes,
he manifested himself in a lot of different ways. But who is this man from Galilee? You know, the angel came and revealed some things to Joseph. Said, you're going to bring forth, she's going to be overshadowed with the Holy Ghost. And that holy thing that's in her is a child of the Holy Ghost. And he'll be called the Son of the Highest. And you're going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, as Son of God. He's the Son of God, Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary to your wife. He appeared to Mary, didn't he? Said, Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow thee, and you're going to become, I'm just going to be plain, you're going to become pregnant, and that thing that's conceived in you, that baby that's going to come out, the Son of God. She had a valid question, didn't she? There's a bunch of people ask questions that they got rebuked for asking them. Mary didn't. She said, how can this be? Seeing I know not a man. Now that is a valid question. And he calmed her down and told her how it was going to happen. Didn't he? Revealed unto her. She knew that he was the Son of God. Do you know what? The angels that appeared to the shepherds out there at nighttime and told them that the king is born. The shepherds ran down to town to see that great thing. They knew it.
Amen.
That the Son of God was here.
Amen.
Then three, or however many kings it was, I don't know, we think three because gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but probably, I don't know how many it was, but it was more than one. Them kings come down from the east, and they saw his star in the east. They knew that the Son of God was here. How did God reveal it to them? He manifested that understanding and that knowledge to them.
Right.
And they came and they worshiped God that way, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what? It's so powerful that when Jesus came down to from Galilee to Jordan, I believe that's what it was, 70 miles, 72 miles, to be baptized of John, guess what? The heavens opened up and God's voice thundered and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
That's right.
God called him his Son.
Right.
People witnessed that God called him his Son.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this? Who is this man? Is not this the carpenter's son? No, this is God's son. You know, it's even said in Luke chapter 3, right before, I believe it's in chapter 3. He says, Yeah. There it is. It's right after that. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass in verse 21, 3 and 21, that Jesus also being baptized and praying to heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. They supposed that he was the son of Joseph, but God declared, "He's my son. He is mine." Joseph never laid claim to being his father.
Nope.
He couldn't.
Nope. Amen.
Now, the other people supposed that it was, but who is, how could that be? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? And he comes, and do you know what happens when your father declares you to be something? Guess what? Satan comes along, and what did he do right after that? He said, "If thou be the Son of God." Three times. "If you be the Son of God, cast your, eat, make these stones bread and eat, because you're hungry. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from and worship me. I'll give you all these things. If you're the Son of God, do this or that." Tempting him. I tell you what, we better be careful how we tempt God. In our prayers. Y'all ever done that? "God, if you who are who you say you are, you'll do this for me. God, help us."
Amen.
Better not question. God never questions the genealogy of His Son. We better not either. He's God's Son. And being God's Son, He holds all the authority that His Father does. Not only, now try to wrap your head around this one. He didn't just start becoming His Son when He was born of Mary.
Amen.
He's the eternal Son of God. How you can have an eternal Father and an eternal Son, I do not know, but I know it's so.
Amen.
That's amazing. How can you have an eternal Son and an eternal Father? But it is so. Because God can do whatever He wants. I don't know how He did it, but He did it.
Right.
And for us to question the existence or the power or the love or the mercy or the wrath or the justice of God or the grace of God, boy, that puts us in a bad situation.
Yeah.
When we start questioning who God is, or who the Son is, whose Son He is.
Yeah.
Is not this the carpenter's son? Oh. Boy, I tell you what. Do you know at Jesus' crucifixion or trial, you know what? The mock trial. The Pharisees and scribes and the lawyers, they all went to Pilate. They all had the court, you know, and they said, "Well, He called Himself the Son of God. He can't be the Son of God. Surely we'd know it if He was the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God." Then He went to the chief priest. And he asked him plainly, "Art thou the Son of God?" And He said, "Thou sayest it." They rent their clothes and they said, "Blasphemy!
That's right.
He's worthy of death." Then they took Him to Pilate. Y'all know what happened? They all did the same thing. Pilate said, I ain't find anything wrong with this man. No cause of death in this man. And they cried aloud. He said he was the Son of God. Crucify him. Not once, three times. More than that probably. And you know how mob mentality gets. Everybody else started hollering, crucify him. You know, we have a mob mentality today, don't we? People are saying that God's dead, and then it starts getting to you to thinking, maybe he is. I'm here to tell you that the Son of God is eternal and he can't die.
Amen.
Now, they nailed him to the cross, didn't they? And guess what? The two thieves that were on either side of him, they're hanging there, and all these folks down here, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the rulers, all of the elders, and all them, and all the people cast the same thing in their teeth. That in mocking him said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If thou be the Son of God, come down off that cross. And I'll tell you that a lesser man would have.
Yes.
A lesser man would have.
Amen.
But because he was the Son of God, he didn't.
That's right.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad about that? He didn't come down off that cross because he was the Son of God, and he declared himself by his resurrection. First of all, his crucifixion, I think, going there willingly declared he was the Son of God, but coming up out of the grave by the power of God declared that he was the Son of God, and there's plenty of scriptures to say that.
That's right.
You know, Mary, Martha, believed it, didn't they? They said, we know thou art he that should come. We know that thou art the Christ. Even Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a teacher come from who?
God.
And I'm telling you, Peter, Jesus asked them that specific question when they were there, after one of the multitude gatherings, and Jesus asked all of the disciples, says, whom say men that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art Elias. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus asked them point blank, but whom say ye that I am? And I'll tell you, that question has to be answered by each and every one of us. Who do I think Christ is? Or who do I think the Son of Man is? And Peter stood up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm telling you, Jesus says, son, if you know that, you're blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed if you know that.
Amen.
And who blesses you with that?
Right.
He says, for blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, I think it's the rock of the revelation of, that he's the Christ of God, and the confession that he made, I will build my church. I tell you what, if you haven't confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, I would admonish you to do it.
Amen.
I mean, it'll do you some good, even if you feel it in here. It'll do you some good to confess it out loud. It ain't going to make it so.
That's right.
But it'll do you good.
That's right.
In your prayers to say, Jesus, I know that thou art God's Son. It'll do you good. It did Peter good. It confessed. I tell you what, the church is built upon the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. And then also, but if people just believed it and never confessed it, there wouldn't be many people here, would
it? No, that's right.
Or if everybody confessed it, there'd be more. Let me say it that way.
It'd be better.
It'd be better if you confess it. What a blessing that is. I tell you, man, you look at this. Do y'all know who else was at that cross that day? Them ungodly, heathen, Roman soldiers were there on that cross. At the cross. They put him on there. They're the ones that drove the nails. And yet, I don't hear Peter accusing a lot of the Romans for being guilty of it. Now, let's go. Well, we ain't got to go there. I believe it's, I can't remember which one is it. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is one of them at the end. Now, the centurion was there. Y'all know, and all them that helped him, it took more than one. A centurion is a leader of 100 soldiers. I imagine all of them were there. Centurion was there, and they had a watch. They had to watch them. They couldn't leave and leave them folks up there on that cross. They had to watch that gruesome, agonizing death. Actually, the purpose of crucifixion is not to kill you.
Right.
If that was the case, they'd just stick a spear in you and be done with it. It was to make you suffer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Suffer.
That's right.
Agonizing.
Cursed.
Now, that centurion, I'm sure when he woke up that morning, he got dressed just like he always did. I imagine he put on that armor. I imagine his wife probably helped him. She fixed him breakfast maybe. He did his normal thing. Said, well, we got crucifixions today. We got 3 of them. And she says, okay, honey, have a good day. And he kisses her and he leaves. I'm guessing. I don't know. Most people do the same thing day in and day out, though, don't they? I do. And when he got there, he went through his normal routine of saying, all right, you lay down on that wood. Hold your arms out. Be still now. I'm sure Jesus was very still. I would imagine he was the stillest one they ever had.
Amen. He wasn't kicking the screen.
And that centurion, as he hammered those nails, strong enough to hold up body weight into those beams, he raised them up. Oh, I'm sure he probably heard a little bit about Jesus. Maybe heard that there was some kind of uproar going on in Jerusalem. This man's causing a stir, causing a tumult among the people. And then they raise him up, and he's sitting there for 6 hours?
6 hours.
3 hours in the dark. They give him vinegar. He's sitting there watching this mob come by mocking Christ. He's even watching the two thieves mock him. They said, look at him over there. He's hanging on a cross. He's, you know, if you're the Christ, come on down. I mean, how pitiful are we as human beings? They were both mocking him, and they were in the same situation he was.
Right. Right.
Isn't that crazy? We're pitiful creatures.
Amen.
Something happened to one of them, though. Y'all know what happened. Preacher preached to him, and he was baptized, and all that. And then they put him back up there. Nah. Somebody prayed for him. He said a special prayer. And no, received the Spirit. No. God caused that man to be born again on his death cross.
Amen.
Not his deathbed. Wasn't that comfortable? He said, Lord. Who told him he was the Lord? Hey, it's the Spirit of God told him that. God manifests himself in a lot of different ways. He manifested himself by the Spirit of revelation to him. I don't know if both of those thieves knew who he was. I mean, or were aware of what's going on. God showed himself. He's the Son of God. Now, centurion witnessed all these things. Do y'all know all the things that happened after the crucifixion, after Jesus said it is finished? Y'all know all the stuff? Y'all know everything that happened? Did y'all know that there was earthquakes? I mean, we're not talking tremors. We're talking about rocks being rent. That means busted in half. And I ain't talking about little bitty pebbles either. Well, that would be amazing though, wouldn't it? If just pebbles started busting open on the ground. These huge rocks that are around in that area of the country just split open. Not only that, they, if I'm not mistaken, they could see the Temple Mount from where they were. Not only did that centurion see the rocks rend, but he saw that temple split. And he saw that veil. You know, there was more than one veil in that temple. There's one that separated the outer court from the holy place. That's like the outside door. Then there was an inside door that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. Both of them were rent from top to bottom. And that's amazing in itself.
Not bottom to top.
Huh?
Not bottom to top.
From top to bottom. You know, all good grace comes really from top to bottom, don't it? There's not much that comes from bottom to top except for praise. Now, that centurion, it says that many that were in the graves of those that slept came out of the graves and appeared to them that were in the city. And it says the centurion saw these things. And do you know what the testimony of the centurion was? Truly. Not only the centurion, but all them that were with him, it says. Truly, this was the Son of God. For somebody who woke up that morning thinking it's just another day at the cross, saw the only one that really ever mattered being on it. Said, this is the Son of God. We heard people say that he was. We heard people say that he said he was. But I'm telling you for myself, that's the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar knew it. God knows it. Jesus knows it. Joseph knows it. Mary knows it. The shepherds know it. The wise men know it. Peter knows it. Mary and Martha know it. Paul knows it. Peter knew it. They all declared it. My question is, do you know it? I want you to know it. I want you to feel it. I want you to confess it. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to worship Him today. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. What does that mean? What does it mean?
It's everything.
For if He wasn't the Son of God, and He's not Christ, He's not Christ. He's not a Savior. He's not a Savior. You're yet in your sins. If you're yet in your sins, we're looking for another one, but He won't come. He won't come because He already comes. And it's Him that I declare unto you today. Jesus, the Son of God. I pray that the Lord will bless you as you continue on to worship the Son of God. I'm sure Brother Kevin's going to tell you that one of the things that you do that is do what Jesus did in fulfilling all righteousness. Come and be baptized in the Son of God's name and in the name of His Father and the name of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Thank you.